Well, a top Australian epidemiologist says it's time to lock down all of Melbourne, and she's calling for a purpose-built facility to move large groups of people to, such as those who are locked down in the high-rise towers in North Melbourne and Flemington. Professor Mary Louise McClaws is from the University of New South Wales. She is also one of the World Health Organization's advisors on the COVID-19 response. I asked her first why the high-rise buildings in lockdown in Melbourne are so worrying.
I think the authorities have got it right when they say it's like a cruise ship, but a vertical one. What you have is a pressure cooker environment where you have, particularly in this public housing, an extended family system living in very small areas. And if one of them gets infection, then they can effectively spread it, not just to the average number of infections, that is two or three, but multiples of that very rapidly. And then the other thing that's very difficult is that to keep control of this without a lockdown or a ring fencing is that within these complexes, everybody knows everybody. So they stop, they have a chat, and there's a hyperconnectivity socially as well. So if somebody has some symptoms and they stop and they talk to people, then they can spread it really rapidly. And then thirdly, you've got the potential for high-touch areas in that public areas that can be contaminated and others then self-inoculate. But it's more likely to be direct transmission by that socialising and living together in this very hot-housed environment.
So even inside the lockdown, isn't it inevitable that spread is going to continue inside there, given what you've described?
Absolutely. So it's inevitable, and it's time that we start thinking about a purpose-built facility for not just quarantine for return travellers so that individual states don't have to suffer the burden, but also for when we find large complexes like these and we get people that are infected, we need to move them somewhere safe. And in fact, it's very difficult for somebody to be looked after at home in crowded conditions, which means that they will just be inevitably large clusters in large families. So they need to test and they need to keep retesting because somebody can be tested early and still test negative. And then when they do find them positive, they need to put them somewhere safe, somewhere very ethical, where they can be looked after mentally and pastorally as well, and of course medically.
So it's not a good idea to keep people in those buildings. We need to move them out. Is that a better option?
Mm. That's right. They could put people somewhere safe so that if somebody did become sick, they could remove them from the tight family group and put them somewhere where it's less likely for that family to then go on and have, in this particular instance, COVID go through the whole family. And in these complexes down in Melbourne, there are many generations of families living together, and you don't want that to happen. And you don't want to lock up this building so that eventually 100% of people become a case. That's just not ethical.
So we will have to, authorities will have to move these people out at some point. Is that your view?
They will have to move out either the people that are getting sick, and they'll have to put them somewhere so that they can be looked after, because not everybody has a mild case. And even those that have a mild case still need to be looked after, because sometimes they're too sick to get out of bed to feed themselves and to ensure that they're having enough fluids. So you need to put them somewhere safe. And we've seen the debacle when we haven't moved people out. So we've seen in the Diamond Princess, we've seen in residential aged care facilities, and we've seen in a non-purpose-built issue such as the hotels where we're quarantining return travellers. It needs to be a much more sophisticated building with very well-trained staff. And also we need to put people that aren't cases yet somewhere safe as well.
And in light of this surge of cases in Victoria, not just in those buildings, of course, but in multiple suburbs, what can you say about the state's epidemic curve now? And is there a case perhaps for locking down all of Melbourne at this point?
A few days ago, I wouldn't have thought that it was a case for locking down Melbourne, but it has gained an acceleration. that we saw for all of Australia. So back in mid-March, we saw 877 cases across all of Australia, and that doubled in 3 days. So we could be seeing something similar here, but let's hope that we don't. But equally, we need to be prepared for it. And that's why we can't keep thinking that we can still do business as usual and keep people in ring-fenced areas.
So at this stage, you would think it's time to lock down all of Melbourne?
Yes. It's time now. Sadly, it's time. It's accelerated very rapidly. I've been watching a double incubation period, which is what epidemiologists do when they want to look to see if you're anywhere near zero to call the epidemic off. For the last week, it has been gaining acceleration, apart from the last 2 weeks. And so today, that cumulative number over the last 14 days is at 874 cases. So it's now time to think about locking down the whole of Melbourne.
And on another matter today, on how the virus spreads, we have 239 experts writing to the WHO saying there's growing evidence the virus can be transmitted through the air, through microscopic particles that hang in the air for quite a while and then float several metres. What is the current evidence about that?
I was on the committee that received that letter, and the letter doesn't surprise anybody, any of the experts on the committee, because we've known this since about 2013 with influenza, respiratory syncytial virus. They don't all get expelled by the patient in one particular size. There are multiple sizes. And this is another example that is lab-based. Don't actually have any other evidence that patients, of course, produce small particles as well as larger droplet-sized particles, and we're very cognizant of that. But there's very little hard evidence that those smaller-sized particles place the average person in public at great risk. We know that in the hospital, it does when you're doing a procedure on a patient, and healthcare workers are required to wear a special mask called a respiratory mask, but also they wear a face shield as well. But to expect them to put on a respirator for just routine care, we don't believe that the evidence is strong enough to put them through that unpleasant exposure for a whole shift. They're very hot, they seal around the face, and we haven't seen outbreaks of healthcare workers who are already wearing a medical mask. We are suggesting to countries to make their own decision, but at the moment the approach still stands that unless a healthcare worker is doing something that's highly invasive, that they are still safe with a medical mask.
Mary Louise McClaws, thank you very much for your time today.
It's a pleasure.
And Professor McClaws is an epidemiologist from the University of New South Wales.